evening. Change to showers overnight and increasing fine intervals north of Milford in the afternoon. Marlborough and Canterbury scattered rain developing tonight. Some showers tomorrow. Some isolated thunderstorms, but they should become confined to the coastal fringes by evening. And Otago and Southland, showers, even a bit of hail tonight, easing tomorrow evening and should become fine for inland Otago, but strong and gusty southwesterlies for a time Tuesday. Coming up 7 past 7, you're up to date on Radio Pacific. I'm Leah Parnapper, you're with Ian Wishart.
I'm Ian Wishart. This is Radio Pacific. Welcome aboard for a Monday evening. Great to have you company. Give us a call, 0800 309 399. Is the other number. Well, I'll tell you what, if they hooked up the beehive to the national grid tonight, I suspect it would supply around about 50% of the nation's power, because every single minister in the beehive, from the Prime Minister downwards, is backpedalling at the rate of knots. An absolute rate of knots. I have never seen a government duck for cover and change its mind and say, yes, we'll finally listen to the public. I have never seen a government react this fast, ever, bar none. The Herald DigiPoll comes out this morning, gives Helen Clark an absolute serve, confirms that despite what some talkback host had you believe a couple of weeks ago, that the One News Colmar Brunton poll was just a rogue poll and you can't believe it anyway. Oh no, it's a real poll. National is well and truly in the lead of the government. In fact, the Herald DigiPoll, which is an even bigger poll and therefore more accurate, has National with an even bigger lead than the One News Colmar Brunton poll or the Investigate Radio Pacific poll. We picked 42% here at Radio Pacific, and the Herald DigiPoll says 45.5% is National's support. So, yes, the ministers from the Prime Minister downwards are backpedalling. The Prime Minister, as you may have heard in the news at 7 o'clock, is due to announce tomorrow a new government strategy on dealing with Māori claims and race relations. Hello? Where did that come from? All of a sudden we're reopening the gaps. If you are Māori, you may have an opinion on this. It seems to me absolutely staggering that Helen Clark can move so fast only when she sees the polls moving against her. Trevor Mallard, hell-bent on closing every single school he'd ever walked into. And all of a sudden now he's not. Still personally believes in it, but he's announced a 5-year moratorium. No more schools to be closed, other than the ones already announced. No new investigations for school closures. Where did that come from? Look at this morning's Herald DigiPoll and get an answer. Breast cancer, only $13 million. Only $13 million to increase the breast cancer screening. But Health Minister Annette King had refused point blank to do it. Over and over again refused to do it. Said, nah, get stuffed. Meanwhile, the government spent $35 million sending 61 engineers to Iraq. $13 million for breast cancer prevention? Nah, couldn't do that. Hello? Today, Herald DigiPoll comes out almost simultaneously with Trevor Mallard's announcement about the backtracking on the closing schools policy. Health Minister Annette King announces that she's changed her mind on breast cancer screening, and the government's found an extra $13 million out of the kitty from somewhere. The kitty's very happy about that, and so will women be from 45 through to 70, I think it is. That's the extension. So, why is the government doing all these things? Because you, the public, have got your feet on their throat. So that's what you do. Now, the trick is not to say to yourself, oh, Helen's being nice to us, we'll support her again. The only way you're going to get any action out of Helen is to make her squirm and squeal. Keep your foot on her throat. Keep on telling the polling companies as they come round that you now support National or New Zealand First or somebody, anybody other than the government, and you will get every little present that has ever been dreamt of between now and the election. You've seen three of them announced today, and a whole lot more to come, because this government is panicking. You can see the whites in their eyes. They know they are dog tucker if they can't win your hearts back. So will these little bribes work? Or is this it for Labour? Your thoughts are welcome on this. Ahmed Zawi, the Herald has very kindly printed the summary of the intelligence information against Ahmed Zawi. Hey, it's very interesting reading, actually. I can't see the problem with it. I think Ahmed Zawi is a crook and should be booted out of the country. Mind you, I thought that before I saw this. But even so, the Herald information from Belgium and France, Switzerland even. I mean, none of these countries are exactly known for being, conservative fundamentalist countries. They are liberal, caring and sharing countries, they are. And the liberal, caring and sharing countries, no matter where he went, suddenly found Ahmed Zawi lurking around, linking up with Islamic terrorists. The man says, I'm not a terrorist, I'm a man of peace. Yes, yeah, sure. Give me a break. The Passion. FilmSense is not going to back down on his R16 rating. It is violent. It's about a crucifixion. It's also very moving. And from those who have seen it internationally and locally, they say it is an extremely powerful movie. But would you take your kids to see it? Do you agree or disagree with the census rating? We can talk about this as well. 0800 309 3099, 0800 309 3099. And of course the flood clean-up, everything else associated with that. We'll be back in just a moment. It is 14 minutes past 7, coming up 14 past 7. This is Radio Pacific. I'm Ian Wishart. Call now.
Can I just borrow your Canon?
Yeah, you can.
Or 0800 309 3099 from anywhere around New Zealand.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Ian Wishart. This is Radio Pacific. There is a spare toll-free line, 0800 309 3099. Johnny, hello.
Oh, good day there, Ian. How are you doing?
Good.
Look, a couple of other things. I heard what you said for a start. I'm absolutely in agreement with you. Government's on the back foot, all right. The two other things they announced, increasing the minimum wage.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Margaret Wilson.
There's another one along the same lines, another one as well. Just to get that, what that was. But what I'm ringing about here, Ian, something that actually concerns me immensely, to do with the Sunday paper thingamajig article about Lomu, face of organ woe. And then it says here, you probably read all about this, the government are looking at legislation. One of them here, consultation on whether legislation is needed to ensure family members and doctors comply with donors' wishes to donate body parts after death. Now, as it stands now, I think it's the Coroner's Law and the Human Tissue Act, I'm pretty sure, the family have the right to overrule the wishes of the family one who's died. If they, the family one has died, said that they've ticked the box to supply a donate the body parts, the family as it stands now can overrule that. You'd know that, wouldn't you?
Mm.
Now, I believe here, this is absolutely shocking, and I speak with a lot of feeling because it actually concerns me. It did concern me personally, this very same thing. The point is, for argument's sake, a young one in the family getting a license could tick the box, oh, yeah, I'll donate my body parts, I won't need them, I won't be here sort of style, and just like that. But what really should happen is, if there's some members of the family, and some people extremely opposed, as I am personally, with my loved one, it was mutilation of the body, and it actually caused me more blooming grief, more grief than the loss of the one anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't necessary, and the ones that's left behind, of the loved ones that's gone, the family ones, if they're totally opposed to having the organs, the body cut up and all the organs taken out, they're the ones that's going to have the grief. So they should be considered. In other words, in my view, the law should stand as it is.
Yeah.
And I think, too, if I might say so, before you go, what I think, I've put a lot of thought on this, those that have now said, ticked the box where they're given consent to remove their body parts after death, even now, at this stage, they should discuss it with all their family loved ones, okay? And it might well be that in a lot of cases, the family loved ones are totally opposed to it, in which case it can be agreed to and sorted out, and they could take the tick out, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Or alternatively, all the family agree, well, there's no problem.
Well, I think you're right. I think the fact is that the person who's died doesn't have to deal with the grief and everything else and the hacked up body that the relatives have to deal with.
Exactly.
And, you know, to suggest that a dead person owns their body is ridiculous.
Well, it is.
You know, they're gone.
And the thing is, what worries me most of all is the government's talking here in this article about whether legislation is necessary. Now, they're actually saying here that they might introduce legislation to overrule and do away with the wishes of the family loved ones that they've got to deal with the grief of the body being cut up. To me, that's absolutely horrendous. I don't know what anybody else thinks, but that's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, and I can't actually think of a situation where I would want a donated organ, to be truthful. I think if I had to face that and or face death, as I said the other night, I'd probably choose, you know, to go the natural way.
Yeah.
Thanks,
okay, Ian,
thanks for calling. 0800 309 399 0800 309 399. Emily, hello.
Hello there, Ian.
Yeah.
Well, in my view, I mean, the Leanne Dalzell issue has demonstrated the effects of illegal immigration on New Zealanders and the cost to the taxpayer. And it's unfair for refugees and immigrants who follow proper procedure and enter the country legally. I mean, our border controls are quite inept, and it's not a good look for New Zealand in light of our international reputation, trade and tourism.
Yeah, that's right. It is a... I mean, I don't know why we have all these problems with immigration. We really need to sort our act out in regard to what we're doing and refugee issues and so forth, and work out what is our policy and stick to it.
Yes, well, Winston Peters has highlighted his concerns with the illegal nature of these matters.
Mm.
Now, the R16 racing Passion of Christ.
Yeah.
I think children see more gratuitous violence on one net news than the adult promos.
Yeah, well, there's certainly that, and there's a lot more gratuitous violence in the video games, and I thought it was, I must admit, I thought it was very rich of our film censor, who has allowed enormous numbers of violent movies to screen in this country, including Baise Moir, the one where the women use guns inserted into various orifices to kill people. You know, and he had no problem with that, and he had no problem with a 9-minute rape scene in another European film that he allowed to screen here, a 9-minute long.
Well, perhaps because it's Christian based, he may have an issue with it.
He may well have an issue with it. Yes.
Thank you, Ian.
All the best.
Good night.
0903 09 3 99 0800 309 3 99. We'll talk to Debbie. Hello.
Hi, Ian. I'm ringing up about the announcement of the expansion to the breast screening program.
Yep.
I'm Debbie Short. With my husband Tim, we were the petitioners. Back in November, we presented 124,000 signature to the government to expand the breast screening age to 40 to 70 years.
Yep.
And we ask why they have announced this today when in 2 days' time we're going to be appearing in front of the Health Select Committee. We're very pleased with this announcement, but it's not good enough. We want it, as 125,000 people in the country want it, down to 40 to 70. So we're going to be there with our submission, and we're also continuing on with the Breast Cancer Day of Shame, which is going to be held this Saturday. Now, there's issues of treatment times, waiting for chemo. So we want as many people, as many men and women outside Labor MPs' offices nationwide this Saturday, the 28th, at 11 a.m. For 40 minutes. Because the 40, we believe it should be from 40 to 70.
Yep.
So, and if anyone would like to, any inquiries about that, if I could put the number
sure
over.
Sure,
you
can.
0800 124 377.
124 377. Now, tell me this, just purely on the off chance that you have some research to hand. The last time I saw breast cancer research, there was some indication that the diagnosis earlier can, if you have regular, for example, mammograms, you can, the excess radiation can actually cause the breast cancers.
No. With a mammogram, the amount of radiation you get from a mammogram is the same amount of radiation you'll get from a traveling 50 k's in a closed vehicle car. It's so minimal from a mammogram, the radiation. It's not as an x-rays into the body, into the bones. It's just x-rays through the breast, and it's very, very, very minimal.
Yeah, I know. The only reason I ask is because I know there was a report in one of the science journals about a month and a half, 2 months ago, about the X-Lab re-evaluating the whole issue of X-rays because they suspect it's causing a lot more of the cancers in our community.
Yes, but that's where the X-ray goes into the body. A mammogram just goes, doesn't actually go and it goes into the breast, but it doesn't go into the bones or anything
yep.
like that.
So for more information, 0800 124 377.
And we'd love to see lots of people outside the Labor MP's offices.
Yeah, well, it does seem that their announcement today was very fortuitously timed, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Especially as we're having the meeting with them in 2 days' time at the Health Select Committee.
All right, thanks, Nicole.
Okay, thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye.
0800 309 399 399. This is Radio Pacific. I'm Ian Wishart. Take part. Give us a call.
Chicago founder Robert Lamb presents Sub Rock.